today. Let me get to my thingy here.
Okay,
we have the park board meeting of the Thursday, July 18th. Will you please take attendance, please?
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Wilberg?
Here.
Aiello?
Here.
Diedrich?
Here.
Demonovic?
Here.
Hyatt? Is absent. And Lane?
Here.
Thank you.
Introduction of our guests. We have Tim Evans here, Superintendent of Parks, Scott Sleaser, Superintendent of Recreation, Sherry Miss, the radio star for tomorrow morning. She'll be on the radio, City Council later that. Will be Ken Koch.
Coke.
No, last time I said it, you said
Coke. It's always been Coke.
No, baloney.
40s.
I take that out of the notes. Cut it out. You know what?
Yeah, take mine out.
For 60
I'm
years.
Here.
All right. It's going to be Coke from now on, okay?
Yeah.
So change the way you spell it.
Coke, like the drink.
Okay. Awesome. That's what I thought.
I'm getting it on right now.
Okay, anyway, there's somebody here for public comment? And no, any presentations? Well, let's take a look at our minutes, please. And if there's anything on the, we'll get to the bills in a second, but let's look through the minutes of last. I looked through them and they looked fine to me, but everybody else take a look at them if you haven't seen them already. Motion on the, anybody ready yet or?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from 11.
Okay. Can we put in for the minutes? The next thing we're going to do is the bills. Now, on the bills again, is there anything specifically we should be focusing on in the 48 pages of bills?
It's kind of the spring, summer kind of bills,
right.
So.
Anything, I know what you're doing, but is there anything that we should kind of look at?
I mean, some of it's, a lot of it's going to be athletics with the athletic season ending,
correct.
Special
yeah.
events with 4th of July fireworks are going to be on
correct.
There, Margaritas and Mayos, a lot of bills are going to be on there, summer bash is going to be on there, tons of athletics, and then a lot of Scott's park maintenance stuff.
It's a purchase.
And yeah, so, you know, we had the city approved like $400,000 of capital purchases, so we bought some trucks recently, a mower we bought recently, a water tank we bought recently. Then you're going to have things related to like Sleaser Park build that kind of has started up here, hopefully finishing up here, but we've been working on that the last couple of months.
Right,
so,
looking good.
So yeah, I mean, it's your typical year-to-year purchases for this time of year, with special events, athletics, parks, capital equipment, things of that nature. So there's nothing completely unusual that we haven't done previous past years.
Just one little question just for my education. I mean, the little variation they have in the salaries for from even the 2 week to 2 week, it's just contract people that you bring in or?
Four.
Just in the salary expenses, there's just, it's overtime, the variations that you have, I mean, from month to month and things like that.
Yeah, it could be because we had some staff leave and then we've hired some new staff, so it's
okay.
There could have been a gap there, and some of our seasonal
right.
staff will work different amounts depending upon the week, and then
or even when we have big events, our part-time salaries will go way up,
right.
just knowing
yeah,
that we have to cover that.
Right.
Or like preschool, now that that's over and summer camps are less, you'll see an adjustment in the
mm-hmm.
preschool line as well.
So yeah. one thing. So the city have budgeted 2 new park hires this year. So for May and June, you had not hired, they hadn't started. So like if you see a salary line item for parks, and then you're gonna see a huge jump in July because the 2 new guys started.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna see also in recreation for May, June, July, August, September, full-time salaries is gonna kind of dip a little because we have an opening. We filled the position, but you can't start until October 1st. And this is somebody we really wanted, so you're going to see kind of like part-time salaries explode over the summer because we've hired some staff to help fill this role for the next couple of months until she comes on. But yeah, it's our salary lineups kind of can fluctuate depending on what's going on throughout the whole year.
And overtime will fluctuate
yep.
depending upon some weather. So if baseball has some rainy weekends and we've got to get extra staff in to help prepare fields, or if we've got a special event, we'll pull staff in for overtime. Or even in the winter, still plowing, it'll kind of go up and down a little bit with the weather or what events we've got going on.
But we expect parks over time to kind of increase starting now because we're just so busy. We're going to bring somebody in almost every Saturday, Sunday, just do trash at like Riverfront, Town Square, Raymond Schneider Park here. It's so busy now. The community growing. We can't just ignore it over the weekend. So I mean, Scott and I, you already started scheduling something, haven't you, every Sunday?
Saturdays. I'm just trying to skip Sunday, but yeah, depending on the weekend.
So, any other questions?
No.
But in general, Bill's list is kind of normal things year to year.
So how many employees do we have on total part-time employees? We had that.
Parks has 17 full and part-time employees.
17? So because we're at the end of the year bash, whatever that is, maybe we had people all over the place.
I believe you have 11 now full-time employees, including yourself.
Me?
Yeah.
I have 10.
10, including yourself. And then you're at, what, 8?
Including myself, not you.
So we're at 18, 19 full-time employees now.
Okay. How many part-time?
It's going to completely fluctuate.
I have 40 to 50.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
and they're all very nice. You did a great job hiring.
There are times when we submit timesheets, it'll be like 75, including full and part-time. And then sometimes it might be 30.
Yeah.
It just fluctuates on concession stand, special events, everything running.
It's amazing. The people are wonderful. Good job.
So, I think I did email on what I mean on that. I mean, we are. Once Kayla comes on board, but at least we made the hire. I mean, the positions we have available were fully staffed at this time, which is a huge relief.
Do you want to go over any of that stuff up there like you were saying?
So this is kind of where we're at the end of June. And this is your last year budget, and this is like this year. It's hard to compare the bottom lines a little bit because the last 2 years, we've had surpluses that came out to $488,000. So the city basically budgeted us as a $488,000 deficit this year. Because we've had surpluses last year, they're just kind of cleaning their books. They don't want us running like a huge surplus. Yeah. Years ago, when Ken was on the board, we were kind of our own entity in a sense. But they kind of, when we transitioned over here to City Hall, they've kind of sweeped us in with City Hall per se. So it's kind of, there's no reason for us to have a budget surplus. We're falling under the city in a sense. But through what Scott and Shea have done, the last 2 years, we ended up with $480,000 surplus. They budgeted us for a negative this year, that we're going to use that money. So what that does is they lower our transfer to us. So by $480,000, because we have that money. So it kind of makes, like last year we had $160,000. We were at a surplus at the end of June. This year we're at 101. It's hard to compare apples because they're budgeting us with such a large deficit that transfer is different. So I know that's complicated, but I know sometimes people look at it and go, why are you off? You kind of got to look at each line item and where we're going. And so like special events this year we're at 25, last year we're at 26. It's a minor thing, you know, who knows what you get to go in and look at the different things. Where you really see is athletics, we were at 106, we're at 132. That's really just continues to explode. The amount of kids we're bringing in and stuff like that has just been huge. Concession stands, you know, we were at 31, 28. I mean, that continues to grow, but that's kind of a minor thing. The other stuff, you really don't see a lot of changes. Hometown days, we're way too early into it. The one that I really wanted to show was sponsorship and donations. So last year we brought in $8,360 to the end of June. We've brought in $27,000 this year already. No. Now that is, finally, this is kind of the first year where Caitlin, our shared person with the library, has really got like a handle on everything. And that's where you're seeing that really start to develop. So that's been outstanding. And then one of the other things I work with staff on is just what are our expenses and where we're tracking and stuff like that. In general, we're doing very well. We're kind of on the similar pace. I mean, I think we've reached a point to where, unless something crazy happens, we're kind of year to year, it should go just nonstop now. You know, and unless we have something just, the city's growing, something just gets out of whack. These numbers should either grow or just be stable every single year. They shouldn't have some huge influx. We're not really adding a whole lot. Now, the one thing that we have to really, as I tell these guys, we got to get through hometown days. Just because if that gets 4 days of rained out, you're spending $60,000-$70,000 that's gone out the door, and that you have to spend no matter what. You have to pay the bands, you have to do these things no matter what. And that gives us a good idea of where we're going afterwards, but as long as Hometown Days goes okay, our budget should be in pretty good shape.
Tim, you mentioned sponsorships and donations. Are those primarily for sports teams and leagues?
Special events.
Somebody could sponsor.
So if you go out to Bridge, you'll see the banners on the fields out there.
Okay.
It'll be team shirts.
Soccer.
It'll be all the special events. It'll be sponsorships for 4th of July, Hometown Days. Hometown Days, not so much. That goes into Hometown Days. But everything else, we've been trying to, in the past, we would put it in the program it went in.
Yeah.
But then when we created Caitlin's position, I wanted to start keeping a better track of this so we could show it. Mm-hmm. So that's where you're seeing that.
Is there a room to grow those? Is that a growth area?
Oh, it's a huge growth area. The catalog, it's a monster growth area for us. You know, as the community grows, we get more people, you're going to have more businesses, you're going to have more interest in sponsoring stuff. It's a huge growth area as she gets... kind of gets to understand things more, gets to sell more, get her to more things. You know, one thing I'd really like to get her is to some of our conferences where she could meet other sponsorship people and start talking to, like, the person Oswego or different towns and say, what are you charging for these things? Yeah. I'm guessing is we're not charging enough of what we should be compared to what other people are doing. But, you know, it's going to take some time, and we're starting to see that really pay off now. I'm hoping as we go in time and I can really work with her on those things, get her some classes and stuff like that, that you'll see that growth continue to happen. But yes, I think it's a huge...
Are we proactively seeking sponsorships and donations, or do they come to us?
We're proactively seeking them on a weekly basis.
Is there a member of our team that's got a primary responsibility for that?
Caitlin,
Caitlin. Oh, the marketing and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So I've worked with her to work, because that used to be a focus of mine, but I just did not have time to really dive in because I'm also planning it and everything else. So now that she's taken that on, she's kind of taken the base and
it's a huge growth for us. Mm-hmm.
It benefits everybody.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Have you ever hit Mars or Newlyweds or something with large corporations? Have we hit those guys yet? Because it seems like they would want their names out there a lot.
They do like really golf outings. They do a lot. Wrigley a lot of times just gives us all of our candy, which saves us so much money for the parades and prizes really and things like that. So
they want their name out there. What about Newlyweds?
The one?
Newlyweds?
We've had some sponsorship from them.
Old food.
Yeah, I mean, they're down by the fire department.
That's a huge company.
Yeah. So I think as she gets more going and gets an understanding of it, and it's only going to continue to grow. So I'm excited about it.
Doing a great job.
And that's one of the reasons we're really pushed for it. If you guys got to listen to the WGN thing, I don't know if anyone got to hear the radio segments, the interviews. I mean, she really kind of was the point person for the city for that. Getting that all done, that was a huge undertaking, even though that wasn't really sponsorship coming in. That was just getting the city Brookville out there.
Sure.
But that took a lot of our time over the last month or two to put that all together, the radio ads, working with WGN and the day of and stuff like that. So I think there's unlimited potential with her, and she's a great employee to have for us. We're lucky to have her.
I think there's a video out there of that.
I think I sent the video there.
Okay.
Yeah. Video's great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And I took her with the W, and she was with them for like 12 hours that day putting that video, just getting that all ready for them to put together. So, yeah. So, there's a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on that?
The one thing I will add to that, when this budget, Tim is active when we do the budgeting, in the come January, February, so he knows like he needs 3 trucks, or he knows he needs this or that.
Sure.
So that gets kind of mixed in there at that point too for the city budget. So sometimes you can think, oh yeah, we're getting. I remember I tell you when that didn't happen that way.
I mean, I've worked with Scott and Shay and Scott in big time. I mean, we have a 5-year capital plan. We have a 5-year replacement plan. That's all been submitted to the city now. That's something we really didn't have a couple of years ago. I mean, Scott and I were just kind of like, what do we need? Now they can basically pull it up and go, okay, they already know 2-3 years out, they've got it in the budget. And some of the things Ken's talked about too is there's the capital budget, and then there's our operational budget. The capital budget is what the city designates to buy trucks, playgrounds, everything like that. Where the operational budget is, okay, we expect you to generate so much money, and then we're going to transfer to help offset paying staff and things of that nature.
Any other questions? You have to vote on this one?
No.
All right.
There's no, we had the old business, so there's no old business. Let's go to new business, the Beecher Park lighting detector proposal.
Yes, so, lightning detectors. I don't know how many of you guys knew what we had and didn't have, but I kind of tried to explain in the memo. So we have kind of three zones throughout the city. You have your north zone, your central zone, your south zone, in which each one of them, they're kind of connected. So Beecher right now, Beecher controls Riverfront and then Circle Center, basically. So if Beecher is our main control system, when it goes off, it's going to send a signal, basically tell Riverfront and Circle Center to go off. Right. Same thing, Bridge will tell
Bristol Bay
to go off. Now, south of town is on its own. So, and these things have been here 15, 20 years. Yeah. Probably Beecher. And Beecher, really, the other ones are okay. Beecher, we've been having problems with the last couple of years. The fuses keep going off. It'll give false signals. It'll just go off.
It's an older unit.
Yeah.
As well.
And basically, is it so old you can't, they don't make it anymore. You can't get pieces for it anymore. So I've been having Scott and his staff kind of putting together some investigating some options for us of how could we replace this. And ThoroGuard is one. We could go back to them, except they're more expensive.
And that's what our current system
yeah.
is.
And while it's fine, it's kind of limited in some of the things it can do. Fairweather is one that is what we're proposing. It's cheaper. It's a little bit more versatile. Scott can explain it. We can move it if we want to. The nice thing about Fairweather, too, instead of Beecher, Riverfront, and Circle Center being connected, they're all going to be on their own. So that way, you can set up how many miles you want it to go, and then something would work with the fire police department. But that way, in theory, if Beecher's catching something, it could be north of town, and it's setting off Riverfront.
Right.
Well, if you got a festival, you're shutting the festival down.
Right.
Same thing with baseball games and stuff like that. Another thing that Fairweather has that we like, it can be solar powered if needed. It doesn't need Wi-Fi, which would be a major problem when we go someday to do Bridge. You know, we don't have Wi-Fi out there. We looked into it years ago. There's no infrastructure for Wi-Fi out there, so it would be a monster expense just to get it there, and then you got to pay a monthly fee. Another thing we like is it has an app version that we as staff then, you know, one thing, we don't know when these things go off. I mean, unless you're standing out there. At least it would give us a signal at like 3 o'clock, hey, it went off. We could at least tell coaches. And honestly, if you're a coach and you walk out to a field right now, unless you look up at the blinking light, you won't even know if it went off. You could be standing there and all of a sudden, why is this thing making a noise? Well, it's giving all clear because it went off like 2 hours ago and stuff like that. So another thing we looked at was Scott and I seriously talked, and I know like staff had some reservations. Do you go to an app-based system? I don't know if we're ready for that as a community, but basically is all the coaches that we have would be given this access to this app. They would know instantly if it went off. You would get rid of the lightning detector systems. You would just go buy an app base. We don't cover the whole city now anyway, but I don't know if we're ready. We've had the community used to this thing. If you're down at Riverfront, all of a sudden you're not hearing it.
Yeah.
It's not like we would have a way of communicating with anybody down there. But kind of like pay phones, this is probably the way this is going to go in the future, is that you're going to go to a full-blown app-based system. I'll be honest with you, if you're at Riverfront, I don't even know how many people even know if that thing went off, they even knew what it was.
Right.
But I don't think we're ready for that. I don't think we're ready to take on the responsibility. That's why we're kind of talking with Fairweather. The city had put in $78,000 in our budget this year for safety things. You know, some of the things we looked at, especially when you're looking at shootings, cars going through parades, we were looking at some barricades maybe that would help puncture a car before it came through. We talked to the school district about partnering with them. That just didn't quite work out. And Scott and I, this to us is a major emergency that we kind of need to solve before next spring season. I don't want to go into next year where we're having an issue with the Beecher Center lightning detector system.
So what's the total cost of all of them?
Right now we're looking at, you'd have $31,000 for the three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less expensive than what we would buy ThoroGuard, which is $45,000. Yeah. Now there is a maintenance fee of $2,000. That's a little bit more expensive than ThoroGuard, but that also gives us access to the mobile app, custom text alerts for heat and lightning. So it just gives us more options. I just think Scott and I talked, we think Fairweather is a much better system. It's nice that we can move them if, like,
sure.
Someday you get rid of Beecher. for whatever reason, you'd set them in ball fields, you would turn Beecher in just a nice walking trails and stuff like that. We could then just take that system out of there. But the one we have now, it's when we moved out of the admin office, it's still over there. We couldn't take it with us.
And that's part of the access problem we have too, is actually to access it, you actually have to go in the building to access it now.
Yeah, you don't see any downsides on it, is there? No downsides, really?
No, not right now.
Yeah, so
no.
I think it's going to be an improvement over the system that's
important. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're looking for.
And the Payroller seems like the best of both worlds, both with the mobile app and the on-site alert. I think that's a great
I think alerting staff to the fact that it's going off is important, so that we're aware of it, so that if we have something going on, we could check with the person we have there.
Especially on the weekends, it would give our staff a little bit more flexibility instead of like Jake.
7 in the morning.
At 7 in the morning, having to come in to see if we have bad weather, did lightning detector go off? I need to call coaches. He'll know at home.
Yeah.
And then he can start notifying people, hey, we're not starting. We're going to wait until this clears up. He'll then get a text saying all clear. Whereas now, he basically, if it's inclement weather, especially in the spring season, he's got to come here an hour early just to see if this thing's ready.
Doesn't make sense.
This gives us a lot more flexibility and stuff like that. Even just sitting here, if it's during a work week at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, well, it looks like a storm's coming. We got to go out and see if the lightning detector went off. And we'll know now. We can start telling coaches, hey, FYI, this went off. We can let you know if it clears anytime soon.
Nice.
And then you have the on-site, too, where obviously staff's not always going to be there.
Yes.
Sasha's coaching the team. He then can go out. Hopefully, we give all the coaches information. They can look at that. No.
Sure.
I think the nice thing, too, is that Beecher, you'll see it blinking as you're walking up. Where if you don't look over at City Hall, the old City Hall, you wouldn't even know it.
I think it's a great idea.
It's cellular, so it can go anywhere. Cellular and solar, so it can go anywhere.
Do you use a lot of your plugs?
Yeah, I was just wondering, I don't know much about the company. Do you think we should reach out to other units of government that use it?
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a bad thought. They do have a list of customers that they have, and it is some park and rec and cities. But we have not reached out, or I have not, maybe TJ has, but I've not reached out to them. But that's not a bad thought, and think what they're, what they think.
Yeah, well, like I wonder, as you get handed off to the different teams, sales to implementation to, they're all a little different,
It says like there's a yearly software maintenance fee. Is that contract based? Would we have a contract with them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know how long the term of the contract is?
I want to say it was 5 years, if I remember.
I think it is 5 years, because the warranty is 5 years as well.
Okay, gotcha.
And we looked at, you can actually lease this too, but it basically comes out to the same. Whereas if you leased it for 5 years, you basically bought it. So we're hopeful that after the 6th year that now it,
I think it's 5 years.
Cost savings after the warranty.
But you're going to, as long as you have the system, you're going to continue to pay for it.
And, is the software upgradable, like at the end of 5 years? This is a long-term company.
I think it's upgradable yearly.
Oh, great.
I think they can help us actually assist us with customizing distances and having a plan and all that sort of stuff too. So they come alongside you and help you establish.
It's pretty typical with our registration system, RecTrack.
Yeah.
We pay a yearly maintenance fee. They're constantly, hey, it's going to shut down for a couple hours, it's going to be upgraded, or something. I mean, Steve's kind of in charge of that. He'll send an email. I think it just happened recently, it was something. So we're pretty used to that type of thing.
Well, when are you looking for implementation on this? When are they going to do it?
If it gets approved here, we're going to gather some more information based off what you guys say. Hopefully in August, September, I'll take it because council will have to sign off on it. It's over $20,000. And then we'd be looking more implementing this in the off season. So it'd be ready to go next spring.
Sure.
So I mean, we think we have the Beecher Center. We haven't had any issues in a couple of weeks with it. We think it has it solved to get us through the fall.
Sure.
This was more as let's get this planned for next year so we have this system ready to go next year.
Can I ask one quick question? So this is just for the central zone, so the north and the south zone, they're going to be staying on the Thorogard then?
For now.
Okay.
Those are newer units.
They're newer.
Those are newer Thorogard units.
Don't touch the south side. I'm on the south side, so I like having that. So I'm just saying.
Well, I think ideally down the road,
we want to replace it.
And we actually probably have some parts we want to add in down the road. But the issue we have with the original unit here is that this is our oldest. They don't make this unit anymore. It's not repairable. So if it goes down.
That's how you're up.
Yeah.
Correct.
And part of it was, before we replace the others, is test this company out, make sure it goes well.
Makes sense, yeah.
If it doesn't, we know then, okay, once those goes bad, we're going to go back to ThoroughGuard. But before we spend over $100,000, those systems don't need to be replaced right now.
No, I think it's smart because I know for us, even though I'm on the south side, my kids go to Circle Center and they rely on Yorkville Intermediate. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think it's a smart choice. So,
yeah.
I say make a motion to move forward.
Second. Roll call.
Yes. Wilberg?
Yes.
Ayala?
Yes.
Diedrich?
Yes.
Demonovic?
Yes.
Lane?
Absolutely.
And Forrestal?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the park benches and tree donations. By the way, we were down there today at the heavy lunch. Those trees look nice.
The Girl Scout
tree. And the things around the mulch around the tree.
Trail.
And trail, too. And you are going to water the trees, aren't you?
They did. We will.
Yeah, that's the only thing I was saying. Yes. It gets really hot. That really looks good. That place back there is looking better and better all the time.
Dan, if I could add to what you said, I mean, some of that credit goes to Anita. She's the Girl Scout who's working on her senior badge, and she directed the planning and the carrying out of the project. Her dad, Wally, was supportive of her, and then they said they couldn't have done it without Scott's help in terms of selecting interesting trees, and the whole thing is just beautiful. And you look back there now with that freshened up trail and all the things and these new trees, oh, man. It's great. So there's a lot of thanks to go around. Thanks to
really,
Scott.
Really
thanks
nice.
To Wally. Thanks
I
to Anita.
I remember the grief we took when we cut down 200 trees in
there. Oh, yeah. I don't think people realize.
I remember the grief that I took. Residents at work said I was killing the forest.
It was
cutting down green ash.
Yeah, a little trash to haul out of there, too, if I remember.
The bike's back there, walking back there, kayaking back there. It's just such a nice, peaceful place back there.
It is actually, yeah, I mean, it's just awesome.
What Scott did and his staff did back there a few years ago and getting the grass growing.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, you wouldn't have now summer solstice, Oktoberfest. You do the scarecrow walk, which he's added to. Like you said, the people that go back there, that was unusable.
All the time.
Right. 4 or 5 years ago.
Correct.
And I'm amazed he got all the grass to grow, to be honest, just because it doesn't get a ton of sunlight.
Yeah.
I think there's enough shade that helps the grass a little bit, maybe. I don't know. I'm not a grass expert, but.
It really is. It's super, super nice.
Too bad we just couldn't get the electric out of there.
Out or back there?
Just get them out, the whole thing. You get that electric thing in the middle.
Oh, you mean the comet substation.
It kind of breaks all the
continuity. I tell you that, just moving it where it was is a huge improvement.
Yeah. What was it before?
Right in front of the ice cream store.
Yeah.
That building actually was Comet's building to start with.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That little block building that was Comet's building to start with. And it was in that whole parking lot was the substation.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it's a huge improvement. We trained them years ago.
I'll be quiet then. All right.
So,
yeah.
It's great. They did a great job. So this is just Scott and I obviously trying to update things. Inflation, prices have gone up. We've started to get more and more bench requests, tree requests, just as the city grows, that just happens to grow with it. And we started looking at our fees, and it's like we're barely breaking even.
Right.
And we need to adjust these fees. So, so some of it right now was on the tree. What were we looking to increase it to? $2,750.
Well, for the tree, we were looking to increase it to.
Or for the bench.
To, mm-hmm. That's for the bench. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trees.
Yeah.
So currently our fees are trees $600, mm-hmm. the bench is $2,000, and we're looking to increase the trees to $800 and the bench to $2,750. And that's just basically to cover purchasing the trees.
These are expensive.
Yeah, the benches.
Well, everything's going up.
Yeah, and staff costs. You know, a bench, we have to pour concrete, we've got to install it, to get a new plaque, things of that nature.
The plaque costs have gone up.
We're looking to increase those fees just to be able to basically cover our costs.
Right.
The second thing is just Town Square and Riverfront, everybody wants to do something there. And we've kind of maxed it out.
They're full.
Oh,
yeah.
It's been kind of maxed out. You know, and you get people that ask, and it's really hard to. There are circumstances it's hard to tell people no. I mean, it just, you know, there are circumstances that anybody would, you know, feel like, of course it's worthy, but then you start stacking things on top of each other and it just doesn't make sense to
add. But it just starts cluttering the park it starts making it difficult to mow, to make maintenance, and things like that. And eventually you are, just if you're going to have like rows of benches or a town square. So I mean, we are looking, obviously if there's special cases, we bring it back here. But we're kind of looking to say, hey, we want to be able to say, hey, you know, the park board has just said, we're taking a pause. We're not putting any more benches or trees at town square. We're fine. And then Scott can work with families at different parks in different locations.
We try to encourage that, you know, as much as we can.
You can understand why they want it, but again,
correct.
Definitely can understand.
We're going inside sure. Now, and it, you know, 27,000 is a lot more than 10,000. I understand right. Totally. You guys vote on this?
We would.
Gene,
the
you have a question. Question.
No questions?
Well, I did.
Yeah.
It's kind of, well, one was an observation. I everybody knows I love the river and I love the river. I'm literally down there once, if not twice. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. So when I woke up Tuesday morning after the storm, I said, man, I got to go check my park. I got to go check my river, see if it's still flowing.
That's true.
So I get down there, 8 o'clock in the morning. My first observation was there was a team of guys down there working on the mulch under the under our new park. You know, the mulch in the park area, neatening it up, adding to it. And I had a nice chat with one of the foremen there. And I was just kind of going around giving thumbs up to the rest of the crew. Till I see this guy. Huh? Now, and you know, when I got my MBA, they called that leading from the front or leading by example. So, you know, kudos to Scott. His crew was there under someone else's direction, and he was wailing away on the shovel and moving the mulch and raking. I think the way we take care of our facilities doesn't just happen. And I know I'm not telling you guys anything.
The real motivation was because Jay's got a big event coming up.
I don't care why, but I'm just saying. I went down there expecting to see.
I know we're going to have a lot of
washouts and everything. What I see was it looked better than it did the night before the storm. So
that was the motivation to make sure it looks good for the event.
Okay,
thank you.
So thanks to everybody. I do have a question. This possibility of what I call a walkway under the bridge that would connect our current walkway, come up on the other side of the river as a way to get across 47 without crossing it. How real is that, or where is that consideration?
Extremely expensive.
Yeah.
And going under the river is pretty unrealistic. And
because
the
just
being
the layout?
Not only the layout, and not only the terrain once you get under the bridge is a problem. And you would have to start working with the Army Corps of Engineers,
okay,
and things like that. That's not even the worst part.
All right.
The worst part is, so you have storm drainage
that's
coming off from the south of town. They're shooting down underneath the ground.
Yeah.
And it comes out right underneath the bridge.
So the issue
is, even if you get all that stuff done, if you're walking, Gene, down there,
you're gonna
the
have
water
to
could shoot you right into the river, even if you had a rail, because it kind of comes up almost this height, it could push you right into the river.
So what's
so
the most efficient or effective way to get people?
I don't think you're ever going to go under the bridge because of that.
So it's over somehow?
Yes. Well,
that's more.
You could go over.
We looked at this in the May Public Works, looked at all three plans.
I read some about
it. So,
over, a bridge that goes over is $8 million. I think if you tried to do something under the bridge, and that can get washed out, that was $4 million.
And then the river could flow, and the bridge would be, like right now, you wouldn't even be able to walk under it.
I don't have an opinion on how it should be.
So
we just think it'd be great.
No, the mayor and the council has asked us to look into this.
Okay.
So we looked under the bridge, we looked going over 47. Another thing we looked at was, could you go up by the county building where they have the hill, and cut a hole and go on, like create a hole underneath, and walk under.
It was $2 million just to, if you wanted to put a real nice crossing at like
Hydro,
you already had the light. That was $2 million there.
I mean, in all honesty, you as a city, it'd be less expensive is to hire guys just to stand on the corners of 47 and just on the weekends.
Why can't they stop at the light and go across by the light? I never kind of
so
go across I go to the light.
Hey, have you tried
light there
to make a right coming off a
right? No,
oh,
it's dangerous.
I mean, even
it's
over there going into that little park area is a nightmare. But then even going where downtown, right, Crusade Burg and all that, it's a hit or miss, honestly.
So there's a lot of options.
Okay.
They're all expensive. But, I mean, your least expensive would be just literally hiring, like, a couple people to stand on hydraulic and 47 and at the stoplight
yeah.
and just
yeah.
like kind of
yeah.
escort
yeah.
people across. And there are towns
those
that do that.
Those would be brave people because
yeah.
I've seen those semis coming
yeah.
at 25.
Well,
are they
on the corners? But I mean,
yeah.
you
well,
do
that's
see towns
it.
That
yeah.
have done it, then that would be a less expensive
yeah.
long term
yeah.
solution.
Maybe
right.
that's what we have to do.
Potentially.
Yeah,
leading
do.
To the new design, right, for downtown. We can lead into that. That's more.
But
powerful.
Before we get into other stuff, we just get this one done.
Anybody want to make.
Do you have a question, Sasha? No, I just had a quick question about uniformity. When people buy the benches, are they all
same
the same? Yes. Okay. What is
yeah.
it? Like black wrought iron?
No, they're cast iron. Argento, I think, is the color. Now, we have suede depending. If it goes to, like, a playground park, we'll do a different color. But, like, where at Riverfront, most of them are going with that, which is, like, a silverish color.
Just curious.
Yeah, we do. We have a standard. We say this is what we want. Now we have people bring us benches and say that are like recycled plastic benches, and they're like, "Hey, we'd like to do this." And we've told them no. We've had recycled benches in the past here. It's a great concept. They don't hold up as well as you think they would, and they're pretty prone to graffiti. Where these are like these benches are. When we get tired of the color, you take them to the sandblaster.
Yeah.
Sandblast and powder coat, whatever color you want, they're good for another 20 years. I mean, that's what we actually just purchased $10,000 in garbage cans. You're going to see all new garbage cans in Town Square
excellent.
That match.
Yeah.
Same thing, they're going to all be steel garbage cans that will last 20 years, and then you get them repainted and they'll last another 20 years. Just because what we're doing is just trying to get some longevity and have things hold up and have some uniformity.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
We need a motion on the.
Yes.
Point, anybody want to make a motion on the trees and the benches?
I'll make it. I move to approve as recommended for the increasing the tree donation fee, the bench donation fee, and to no longer accept bench and tree donations at Riverfront and Town Square Park.
Anybody second?
I'll second.
Ready?
Yes. Roll call.
Ayala?
Yes.
Diedrich?
Yes.
Dumanovic?
Yes.
Lane?
Yes, of course.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Wilberg?
Yes.
Hey, that downtown grant, this is really interesting.
Did everybody get so
yes.
the design change from what I originally sent you in the pack? Obviously, as you guys look at it, if you have some suggestions, some recommendations, but I'll be honest,
Corey, you need
this is what's being submitted to the grant. And this is what the council
prior.
You gotta,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
this is the current one.
Yeah, and this is what the council basically approved. So, like, if you're saying I want to do the stage, that's not happening.
But, we did pick it apart because I got this like the very day, the weekend. I got it on a Sunday night, and there was a lot of issues that I personally had too with it. And so I think this is like the revised. There's supposed to be 3D renderings coming.
Correct. Through. But this is kind of what the council in general has approved. I mean, if you guys have suggestions, if you take it home, if you think of stuff, always please email me because if the grant does get approved, as Scott and I have worked with on other grants through playgrounds, like there can be flexibility moving things. It's kind of like as long as you're doing exactly what you said you're going to do. They're not so much concerned like, oh, you moved the stage over here or
yeah.
something like that. It's like, did the stage get put in? Did these parking spots, did these things get done?
Right.
But in general, I would say it's been pretty limited what can get moved because you got the businesses kind of on board with this in the downtown. Council's kind of agreed to this. This is kind of what, if the grant happens, it gets approved, is what you're going to see. So this is in that gravel area. And I think, did I put it in the memo?
You're talking about this one.
I thought I had just still everyone.
This picture?
I must have lost it. Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you kind of know then what this is the area we're talking about right
you
now.
Pass that around.
So this is Riverfront Park. This is Foxy's Ice Cream. If you've been
that
down
should be in
there,
your
that's
yeah.
the gravel area.
You got it?
That it's not a great picture. I want to highlight it, but this is what it is right now. What's that?
Is there a building that's
going to
be demoed, like off of Van
Emmen?
No.
No,
no,
it's
a
foundation.
So you have a building
all
here.
Those are foundations.
I shouldn't remember.
Yeah.
So that's all foundations.
Got
yeah.
it.
So no, these buildings we do not own. This is all privately owned. This is Dakota's. This is their parking lot.
Right.
So everything in yellow is what the city purchased of this area.
And then the city does own the alley, all the parking back behind the...
Yeah, the city owns all this.
That's already the city's.
Okay.
So the grant will encompass some of this. There's also a huge water main project that's getting done regardless. That runs right through here. So that would be, if the grant gets approved, that would get done first. You would have to get that done first before you start doing the rest of it. And that's before then you would come to this plan.
It's also where those two big water pipes run underneath that parking lot.
I have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. The businesses in the area, are they aware of that?
I've been working with them left and right. The very first plan came out, they shortened up, they went from 130 parking spots to 90, and that wasn't going to fly. That's the worst thing you'd want to do. Down. So that's why the first one had that circle was had a road in between.
Yep.
Yeah, right there.
The package,
yep.
Ken.
I remember.
And
uh-huh.
They took away the easement for the businesses. The businesses have to use the back side because you can't do nothing on the other side because of Route 47.
Right.
So
yeah.
That was a big thing we told them right off the bat. You're going to have to make sure we get that space in there. And then basically we had them push it down and then take parking around the top side by the trail, by the train tracks. So some of those were done at the city council. And we spent, what, Tim, about an hour and a half that night?
So other businesses were here last Tuesday at city council, so they all spoke. I mean, literally every business.
And it was very supportive, which that's awesome. That nice. No one's complaining.
So this was the original. I sent this out to you guys, and this is the one that, which you have in your hand, is what is going to be more if the grant gets approved, what eventually this would come to be.
And they're gaining outdoor patio space then.
Yeah, I go down there and eat the vault a lot. So I sit out. They have an outside thing there. Yeah, I love it. And I wouldn't want to take that away. It looked like we were doing that, kind of.
I have one more question. Mm-hmm. Based on what we had talked about earlier, the with the benches, the like memorial benches or designated benches, I know the high school did like a brick sponsorship program, and they when they re-bricked the front entryway.
Yep.
Is there going to be any sort of community participation opportunity in this?
Those are the
project?
Type of suggestions we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of
to be honest, this has happened so fast.
Yeah.
Like, was basically, I mean, what we've done is something you would plan years for.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've done it in like weeks. I mean, just buying the property, it was like, you got to move on this ASAP. Like, council, like, same thing. You got notice, and it was like, next meeting, you need to vote on this.
Yeah.
And then to just buy the land and then to go for this grant. It's due, we're wrapping it up, it's due next week. So I think those are the things that
I
can forward on to the council of the bar and say, if we get the grant, something like that, would we want to do a brick thing? That's a great suggestion.
It's a community buy-in opportunity.
Yeah. So I think a lot of those things, we can catch our breath after it gets done and we can start talking about those things. And especially if we get the grant, there's going to be some time. Like I said, they have to do the whole water main project first before you even get to start installing this. So you're probably looking at when did they say the grants? We find out approval at the end of
November,
the year.
November, December?
Yeah, at the end of the year.
That's just to know if you got it or not.
That's to know if you got it. Then you got the water main thing, which is going to take another year or two. You're 2-3 years out before you even see something to start happening of this nature.
And the grant is state or federal?
I believe it's a state grant. It's a downtown state grant. There could be federal aspects.
It may be coming from federal, though.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Now, the businesses, they didn't say anything negative about it, did they?
Oh, no.
No, they just had.
How was that? Might be wanting us.
Yes. They just had suggestions from what was originally proposed to what this came through as.
Can I answer? So, I know that the park used to own the old bank on the corner.
We
still do.
The city still does.
Okay. Because, I mean, I know that that's a lot of parking, but we still need more parking. Mm-hmm. So what's the plan?
Which is why there was no way, like, when they said they're going to reduce it to 90, that's taking parking away. That one.
Right.
That's not going to fly.
So, I mean, is that another thing you guys are thinking about is more parking somewhere?
Well, this is going to give you more parking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but.
She's saying even above and
beyond. Because I'm just saying the events are getting bigger. They're getting more popular. So you're getting more people from other areas. So Yorkville's growing fast.
No, I don't disagree. I think it's going to be get the grant. Once this gets built, you're already going to be spending millions of dollars to do this. It's probably going to be something that's going to be addressed after this gets done.
If we ever sold the old bank building, if we had somebody come in and want to buy it, we would sell the building, but we're not going to get rid of that parking there either, because there's no way that we'd be willing to do that.
Yeah.
plan. Imagine like Riverfest, like this weekend. Riverfest all right now occurs on the other side of Hydraulic. If, I'm just assuming, like when this is done, we would have like a Riverfest activity or an event or something in the middle, like in Area E, right?
Yeah.
The event.
And I think they're talking about, staff is talking about blocking off the top part, you know, where the sim show up there.
I mean, some of it, for an event.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think some of these events, like Margaret's Mile, Riverfest, you're going to be using
all of it.
You're going to be using Riverfront and
everything.
You're going to be using it all. Now, I think you could have, in theory, smaller events where maybe you only have a band, maybe you only sell beer. I think there's a lot of discussions about how alcohol is. Are you going to have maybe a band playing and businesses can sell alcohol? People can just walk around. You can sell food. But I think for festivals, what we talked about is we would block this off.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have your, this is where you get your ID, you get your liquor, you would have food trucks all in here, vendors, and then people would come in and out of here to listen to the music or kids' activities. But I think it could be a lot of things.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
One of the things that I've kind of mentioned with staff is you're probably moving everything but Hometown Base down into the downtown once this gets done. A Hometown Base is just way too big. The carnival, you'd have to block off the admin, you'd have to do all kinds of stuff that they used to do. You really couldn't do that. But Summer Bash, you probably move down here. You know, you would want to take advantage of this different type of situation. But I think you would be using both sides.
And I was, you already answered my question, but I was kind of thinking like having people walking from one side of Hydraulic to the other and back and forth, like through a parking lot, might not be ideal. But you already said like we would, when events are big like that, you'd probably block off that one area, and it would be a
I mean, like Margarita Mile, we pretty much shut this all down.
Yeah.
Traffic
yeah,
would come
right.
through. We just shut it down during the event.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think there's going to be a lot. This is one step. I think what happens after we get the grant, how's it work, what's going to happen. I think there's going to be a lot of discussion on how then are we going to take advantage of this opportunity, what's best for the downtown area, what drives more people down there, stuff like that. So,
one other thing, you guys, just to let you know, I think that green spot circle, I thought they were talking about turf.
They were.
Yeah, so it might not have to be mowed. That might be like...
Probably nice.
Yeah, so maybe you get...
Turf meaning artificial turf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't use that word. Okay, yeah.
I think that was talked about.
There's pros and there's cons.
Yeah.
From time to time, I hear mixed signals about Oswego's success, so to speak, with their performance venue. I've heard great success, and I've heard a great failure, and everything in between. I don't know who to believe, but I'm asking, are we connecting with our people, our friends in Oswego, to learn what they're learning from the business of being in the performance venue and festival business?
Yeah, I don't know
business.
If this is going to be the same type of thing.
Well, that's part of my question is, what are we trying to do? And I don't mean that.
Anything
but respect.
Obviously, that's going to be a council decision. I mean, that was designed
to... Well, that's
why
I'm looking at this guy when I see it.
I think that was designed to bring bands, charge, bring activities in. That was designed as a mini version of River's Edge, in a sense.
Yeah. I'm just saying, what can we learn from their experience?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is more to me, and they have final say, you guys have final say. This to me is like, Wheaton has one of these in their downtown. Naperville kind of has something in their downtown.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, Naperville and Wheaton. I think Wheaton's on Wednesday, Naperville's on Thursdays. Like, they have their big band. They have a municipal band.
Right.
Every something they play every Thursday in the summer.
Right.
I don't,
Frequent.
Like, it's every Thursday.
Yeah, right.
They have
neighborhood, small town.
But, like,
stuff.
You could go out to the Yorkville Big Band or the community band and say, hey, we want you guys to perform every Thursday.
Sure.
Maybe pay a fee.
Yeah.
You could get, I don't think you're going to get the type of bands in Oswego necessarily where you're charging. I think you're just getting, like, guys, you're paying $500.
Yeah,
just
right.
go play music on a Friday night, a Saturday night, kind of what the bars do.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like you're just trying to get give some of the people that want to come down. Sasha wants to come down, have a beer, get something to eat. His kids can run around.
Yeah.
They can sit here and then they go home. I don't think you're like going to get a cover band like Hometown Days where you're really trying to bring people in, charge money. I think it's more is how can we get more people in the downtown. So I think they're two different things. The Oswego one really, they have some businesses, but it's a little bit on the outskirts.
All I'm saying is let's find our niche and let's be the best in that niche, whatever that
means.
But
I think those are the discussions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is we need to talk here. City Council is like, once this gets done, what are we looking at?
Yeah.
Are there going to be times that you might have bigger bands and maybe you do charge? And it might be, you know, hey, one of the bars, they want to do something and they're going to do it. They might do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me think of two things in Naperville, the Rotary Hill and the Band Shell.
Yeah.
I mean, because I grew up in Naperville. And
sure.
That's exactly how it is. And the Band Shell, yeah, it's all the community bands, but then Rotary Hill, that's when you're going to get the big events. So, you know, if they're going to do, like,
I lived in
the
River
Fest,
so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So
I think
that's... Much bigger, to be honest, we think it's got 1,500 people.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, this is only... I know this looks huge,
but
it's not, like, that's a much bigger...
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand what we're trying to do, who we're trying to serve, how we want to put it together. It's exciting. It's nothing but exciting.
I think those are all discussions to continue to have, to bring to the council, to think. I think this is going to be developing as we go.
From the rapport that I've had with some of the businesses, I think what they really are hoping for with this is that there could be things programmed, and maybe there's ideas here that keep people there, because people will come there to eat, and they might, a lot of people will probably leave.
Right.
But if you had something down here where, I don't know, I mean, I even thought about pickleball court somewhere in there. I don't know if that's kind of a part where to be able to.
My next question was going to be, you know, has the city thought about the kind of businesses we'd like to have, the mix of businesses we'd like to have? Obviously, restaurants and bars, that goes without saying. But are other things that would bring people and have them want to come back regularly and attend these regular festivals? I love the word festival. The other observation, this is something Kelly and I, we sat at that table many times handing out, checking IDs. But you're watching these people come up, and they're just excited. They think they're going to Disneyland. This is a big thing, and people like this. And so this is all fantastic. We just have to think it through and do it smart and do it our way, so to speak, okay? Not Naperville's way.
Just on the flip side, as we continue to go, we got to think about how are you doing this operationally.
Sure.
It's more trash. More maintenance
issues.
Is it going to be more staff? That's
actually
what it's going to be.
Without
a doubt. Because it's a big
like,
area.
If you're talking about something like Oswego,
it's going to be rec staff.
You're going to need
two
park maintenance guys, and you're going to need probably three, four, you're talking five new employees. If you think you're going to have this scheduled, some big thing, if that. I mean,
It's a park. It's going to be a park.
But I mean,
when
you're doing an event, one thing.
Park responsibility. Okay.
You can add one employee and add 1,000 people in athletics. That's easy to do. A special event, it takes like 20 of us. You guys all help. That's not as easy to do. You know, and if you get alcohol, serving alcohol, now you gotta have everyone over 21, you gotta be Bassett certified. So I think that's the discussions we need to have is not only what's this gonna look like when it gets done, is when you brought up all these things, we need those out on the table and discuss it and say, how are we gonna make this work?
My point was, we're gonna be bringing new people to our town. What else do we wanna show them? What other reason do we want to give for them to come back? I don't care, you know, antique shop or I don't know. I don't know what the answers are, but, you know, build our thing that way.
Sure.
And use this because we've got a great draw. We've got great.
I just think having this clean
foundation here,
looking nicer, walking, stuff like that, I think it's going to be really nice.
And you're going to get those businesses.
And that'll create change, too, Jan.
Yeah, you're going to get the businesses to want to come.
That'll create change.
Because right now, all the businesses are like...
I think we can decide, to some extent, and influence what would we like this to look like 20 years, 15 years from now.
Yeah.
First step, but I want to bring this to you guys. I think as you guys look at this, think about stuff, make sure to send me things. I think there's going to be more discussions, especially if we get a grant. That's when this is really going to start. Like,
one more thing, and then I'll be quiet.
Right.
We have this unique thing called the river, and the beginning of a unique riverfront. How can we use that? Because other towns don't have that.
Well, no, and I think you constantly are adding to it.
Yeah.
So you have the riverfront park.
Yeah.
We've redeveloped that a lot. You
got
a new playground. You have this thing down there. Then the state put in the new kayak chute.
Oh, yeah.
It's got cleaned up the east part of it.
Absolutely.
Now you get this. When you talk about, you know, some of the bars and businesses, it's just you already are adding things to it to give people stuff to do. And it's just, you know, maybe I come get something to eat, then I go get ice cream, I walk around, I spend an hour or two.
Yeah.
And you talk about businesses. I mean, Shay's a great example of someone where she would put her kids in YPAC when they were down there. What were her and her husband doing during YPAC time? They were going to a bar, they were going to a restaurant.
That's the whole idea. That's what they were telling me.
Sure. So, I mean, I think what you're doing here is you're creating that environment, Gene, for those businesses to come. The city can't solve every issue.
No, no, we're not.
You can create that environment to where that occurs,
you might say. Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I don't drink meat, but I think it's cool to have a neat meat place in our town, whatever the heck meat is. I don't know, but that doesn't mean it. Or we got a great coffee shop, Iconic. That's a unique coffee shop. That's not just another.
We just got the damn tracks there. That's a problem. You know, you just think, I know you can't hear, that's really an issue, I think.
Well, at least this might help make it look nicer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can tell you, 32 years ago when I started here, the whole area looked vastly different.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh.
That, I mean, the playground, all that park didn't exist.
Right.
And there's a park there, but I can tell you that it was just the riverbank, later rode the bank.
Terrible.
As the water got higher and lower, I mean, it has changed a great deal
sure.
in that amount of time. And 30 years from now, Dan, maybe that train is gone and that's a trail going to Ottawa and going to
could
Aurora.
Be.
Who knows? When the opportunity, you know, that was for sale at one time. We should have bought it then.
We should have.
But maybe that opportunity will come again.
Don't get me started on bike trails.
But maybe that opportunity will come again, and this time we'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
So never say never. I mean, it could be something that's, you know,
it could be the bridge
in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Could be the bridge.
Tiffany, you remember what Naperville looked like in the 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
Probably 70s for you.
I was going to say maybe, like,
okay,
late 80s 70s,
well, whatever, but I'm saying.
Yes.
It was kind of rough around the edges downtown Naperville, and the stores weren't solidified, they're coming and going, and now it's like a machine down there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we know
good
the
stuff.
Details of the grant?
Say.
Did we get the grant? Does the work have to be completed within X number of years?
Oh, I'm sure most grants are going to.
I
don't know all
the
details.
Right?
It's going to have like 5 years,
guidelines.
6 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And stuff like that when you have to get completed. I know.
And we'll find that all out when it's
available. It's probably available. I don't know all the details of the grant. City Hall's kind of running it. But just going off of when we get grants for playgrounds, you've got a certain amount of time frame that you have to submit. You have to submit like monthly reports, the status of it, things of that nature.
There's a grant manager that you have to work with.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
We every month we would have to submit our bills so they were.
So if we get the grant, we have to keep moving.
Correct.
Yeah.
There is a matching component too, so.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Which
gotcha.
We were told that since we're going to do the water lines through there, and that's probably like 900,000.
Like, it was a million this time.
Okay. So we can use that as an upgrade, so we can use that as part of our match. So we're going to do it anyhow, so.
All right.
Yeah, that's great. Sasha.
I'm still learning about Yorkville history the longer I live here, but what was in this space like the last 50 or 75 years? I mean, I'm sure 20 people have looked
sure,
at this.
Sure, it was FS property, like Farm Services was there.
Yeah.
So they used to have a building there where you could buy feed and all that, and then they had outbuildings that had seed and stuff like that.
Okay. It's like big sheds, kind of, right?
Yeah, then
silos.
It housed all the stuff you needed for farming.
Okay. Forever, I don't know,
there,
it's like silos down.
Well, that's the farm, but on this property, they actually had a building that you could walk into. I mean, that was here when I started the city, that you could buy all sorts of stuff at. And
I'm just wondering, what are we going to run into anything when excavating and grading?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's not.
Is this enough? Yeah, oh, this 350.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is,
some of
it is a known brownfield, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a brownfield.
Oh, yeah, you're going to encapsulate
it. It's a known brownfield.
That's why if you look at it, the stage is already going to go on. There's a concrete. If you go on Van Emmon, it's already high up.
And there's elevation, too, right?
Yeah.
So Van Emmon, if you look at Van Emmon.
So most of this, you're really not digging a whole lot.
You're
encapsulating it all.
Right.
Because that's the issue we ran into years ago with the playground over front park is Scott and them started digging, and it was like, we have a problem. We can smell gas. And that's because it's contaminated soil.
Yeah,
we had to spend like $200,000 cleaning that up.
And that was like what? That pushed everything back a year?
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
No, it didn't push us back a year. Because we already had the hole dug. We were able to get through that pretty quickly.
So,
I mean, but encapsulation is what you can do here. And that's why that's going to work pretty well.
And that historical cemetery is on the other side,
too. Yes.
As far as we know.
Heard all about, yeah, right?
We can put on the agenda and have Scott do a breakdown of Yorkville history.
That's
great.
I can just tell you how much it's changed in 32 years.
It sounds like a podcast is going to happen.
Let's just keep us appraised on that.
I will.
I'm sure you're going to get it. Just
excited.
Thank you. Okay, the last thing we have on you is the Community Nutrition Network wants a shed.
So, I'm still working on getting. Details because they kind of reached out to us, so let me just pull it up. basically, as some of you may or may not know, obviously the city owns the Beecher Center and Beecher Park. And within the Beecher Center, Senior Services kind of oversees that building for the city, and that's where Senior Services operations. There's actually a secondary business, I don't say business, organization out of there. Now, they're affiliated with Senior Services, this Community Nutrition Network, and that's kind of where the Meals on Wheels inside of the stuff, they're in there. So at this time, Senior Services has kind of a large garage shed right over there. The CNN reached out to us a couple weeks ago asking for permission to do another one. They have some funds available, I don't know where or how, either through the state or the federal government, that they have to spend by the end of September on getting a shed. So they reached out, they want to put a 10x10 shed somewhere. Initially, I had talked to Shay because of our preschool program over at the school. We don't have a ton of space there. Maybe we could collaborate with them, build something bigger so that we would both have stuff. But I have no way to get that done by the end of September when they've got to use these funds. I still haven't really had a lot of time to talk to Scott and be like, if we wanted to do this, where could we even put a shed in at? Scott maybe can think of something here on the fly. My big concern, in talking to all of you guys, is I just don't want Beecher turning to Shed Central. You know, eventually they do it, they may want to come back, something else, we need another one. I mean, yeah. You know, the Boy Scouts, there's other groups that use this on a regular basis, this building. Hey, we need a shed someday because we're in there 3-4 days a week with our Boy Scout meetings. That was really my biggest concern was, you know, you start adding it, you're going to get other groups wanting to do it too. I don't want to be mean to them. I just don't know what the right answer is.
Is there a compromise of just adding on to the existing shed?
It's pretty tight. You really don't have a lot of room.
It looks now, like there's grass, but probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Scott, and I hadn't really had a chance to sit down with Scott, but like, could you put one here? I mean, would that be the right place to add another one?
You could. I mean, it depends how they want to access it, that sort of thing. I mean, you wouldn't be an addition, probably, but you could mimic it on the other side.
Right.
But I will say that, you know, we have other organizations that have asked to put sheds on park sites. Not a big fan. In fact, we've actually gone, you know, years ago we had a lot of sheds put up on baseball fields and things like that by different users. Slowly but surely we've kind of gotten rid of some of those sheds just because they tend to be an eyesore. In this case, you know, I don't know how much money they have, how quickly they can do it. Even trying to mimic something that looks similar would be tough to do.
I think Steve talked to them this week. I think they're looking what we have over at the preschool now is Home Depot.
Yeah, like
is that they would go to Home Depot, buy a tough shed for $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000, and Home Depot would come and just build it for them. So it wouldn't be as huge, but you know it's another structure in the, within the.
What are they using it for? Is it for food or?
Well, no. I think they just have supplies and things they want to store in there. And,
what if you said no? What would they do?
Well, what I would do is I would still send this to council and just saying the park board is recommending no, we don't do this. I think they're going to want, even if we say no, they're going to go talk to the mayor, to the council about it. So I would still send it to council with a recommendation from the board saying no, they're not in favor of this. I get it's an issue. We want to help out. Obviously, it's a similar issue. We'd like to help them out. I just felt like it was important at least to bring it to the board so you guys can weigh in and see what you guys think about it. I think we can make this work. I think it would be similar to like a tree and bench donations. If we did this, we kind of say we're not going to do any more, regardless of who else, that this is the only thing we're going to work with them, and then that's it.
Well, if they ever go defunct or find something else, we can always use it for something else, right?
Oh, in theory, yes.
In theory,
yes. Yes.
It's not going to go
yes. Waste. Yes. And if they're getting something like Home Depot, we can probably move it.
You can. I mean, you know, typically when we did this original one, we made that, you know, shed is really not what that building is. It's a garage. It's
yeah,
got
yeah,
a, it's on a slab. It's a garage.
Right.
It's not a shed. It's not. It was built on stick, built on site. We made them pour concrete, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I think that's something we would want to need to decide here. Do we want to have them have some sort of pad that this thing sits on, or would it just sit right on top of the ground? You know.
I think that's a decision we can make.
Yeah.
Request. Okay. I think it was more here is, are you guys okay with this? Do you not want to do it? I'm more leaning towards we should help them out. We should allow, if they're going to get one of those tough sheds, we should do it. But kind of saying, hey, we're going to recommend that no matter what, we're not doing anything more.
Well,
and
looks,
that, I would probably, Scott, if we can, I probably want to squeeze it by this one somehow right here so it's kind of fitting in with what we already have instead of putting someone else on there.
Scott, they're saying they want a 10x10 shed with a concrete slab and the sidewalk.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if they're
going to. With electricity.
That's what they submitted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to afford all that.
I mean, the concrete slab.
The electricity part can be difficult, honestly. Yeah. We'd have to see if that would be something the city would actually.
But the slab would probably be more doable, right?
Yeah.
Because I know that it is for, they've grown faster than they thought they were going to grow in this area.
So you want us to, our opinions on this, you want us to vote on it, or just?
I guess I haven't really had one, but the more I've worked with them, talked to them, I would be recommending is we say, hey, we're going to work with them, we're going to put this one in, but we're also going to say to the council is our
recommendation. I know, I'd like to have more details on it.
Yeah, and I would get that. This is really like, hey, a week ago, and I'm trying to get a package done, yeah. And.
Well, I can make a motion to say, as presented, we don't agree with it as presented, but we'd like to look into future options and what other options they would propose.
And I can't. Probably what's going to happen, though, is that I can do that is if they really have to get this all done by September, it's probably going to go straight to council.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to have time to be able to bring it back to this board.
Mm-hmm.
So I was more in favor of let's work with them, but with the caveat that we're not going to do any more with anybody else.
Can we make that as a motion? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that motion.
Okay.
But not what you said.
Yes.
Yes.
What you said.
Yes. What Tim said.
I'll move what Tim said. Yeah.
How
and
you,
I'll second what Tim
how
said.
Are you going, how are you going to avoid if another group coming in with a similar status of a group?
Well, one, we can say the park board said no. Just like benches and donations in town square, park board says no. I mean, ultimately, the city council has final say on anything. But I mean, they're going to take your guys' recommendations very seriously. They're very rarely do they override committee level decisions.
You know, I think the function of this is important, though. This is for the Meals on Wheels, right?
Yeah.
For the older people
correct.
That need this. I think that's more of a thing than a baseball, putting their baseball things in. This is kind of a humanitarian thing that are focusing on the senior citizens.
More community.
I say yes.
Yeah.
More community.
So I was more saying now is like, as I said, we can work with them, Scott and I,
right.
Get the final details. I'll send it to you guys. It's got to go to council for approval because you're putting something permanent on
Tim, this is the first time I've heard about this, but so they're getting rid of that shed that's
no,
there?
No,
and
that's
one?
A senior service shed. So you have a second organization that kind of works under senior service called
okay.
The Community
yeah,
Nutrition.
I know.
They reached out to us just like a week ago.
So they want their own shed?
They want their own, well, yes. Not, this is more like Scott said, is a garage.
Okay, whatever.
What they're looking for is an actual shed for more storage. I mean, they're kind of, I mean, if you've been in there, they're kind of off in the corner. I mean, they use the kitchen, but they don't really have access to the rest of the building
right.
And their services. And that didn't have a lot of storage to begin with there. So, and I think just as they've grown with staff issues, they're kind of taking storage to make staff places. So I think they were just looking for things to put in there. So this is coming to you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'll have more details. They're all really good people. I just think some of these things it's a lot. Like, they're trying to run this network. They don't really have details. They got this money. I'm sure they've had it for an extended period of time. They didn't realize they had it. And it's like, you've got to get this done.
Yeah.
And so I really kind of have Steve trying to work with them to get stuff. But, like, when Steve's called them, hey, what are you thinking? They're really kind of expecting Scott and I to go figure this out. And I've been like, they've got to figure this out. We're not going to build it. We're not going to do this. And it's kind of like, okay, you got to get this done. I got to at least get some approvals on this before you can build it.
I mean, I do like the earlier idea of, like, if we needed space for specific things, you know, in this location, get creative with this idea, the suggestion, the storage. I mean, two birds with one stone, if we're able to do that, that sounds great, right? Like, I'm always looking for places to store stuff.
Correct.
You know, parks and rec-wise, so.
My only concern is that a good use of this property where it sits to turn it into a storage facility. You can put storage facilities anywhere.
Yeah, but they're not going to want to drive somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. I think if you did it here, you already have a garage. Putting something here, it's not out in the park,
right.
But putting something here. And I just think we put the caveat is we're not going to do any others in the
that's
future
correct.
That.
Absolutely.
Like, Dan said this is a unique situation. It's helping out seniors. It's with, you know, feeding people. Is that we can help them out here. With, we're not going to do others.
What is that, about 40 to 50 feet in length to work with?
Yeah, yeah, that shed's probably, that garage is 24 by 24.
Okay, so it's just going up.
It's not going to be that big. It's going to be more.
Half the
size. Right, right.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if we wanted something larger, I think it would be larger, right? Like
if we wanted something, in all honesty, I mean, we would want something probably larger. And we'd probably want to go out and you know, do something.
And you wouldn't put it there?
Probably not.
Yeah, right. That's,
yeah.
That's
okay. Yeah. Well, we don't work out of the building. I mean, if Rec,
right.
If Rec had a presence there,
okay.
We might want something
there.
There. But we really, other than doing programming out in the fields, we don't
right.
really do anything
right.
there.
Real quick, I'm not familiar with the Community Nutrition Network. What do they do?
Like Meals on Wheels.
Meals
on Wheels.
And where do they get the food?
They're through grants through the state and federal government. How they do
they
all
go,
that?
They work with local restaurants.
Yep.
Yeah. Or. Yeah, so they're one of my chamber members. But they work with local restaurants, or they actually have people that actually prepare the food and send it to the senior citizens.
So,
and they have volunteers that drive.
I'm just
yeah.
trying to
yeah.
mix
yeah.
them with the Kendall County Food Pantry, which I'm more
no,
sure.
No, it's different.
No,
yeah.
this is for more
meals
people. Yeah, more
to
people.
Their homes.
Elderly.
So, like during
people
COVID,
that aren't mobile.
During
yeah.
COVID, they were really struggling with volunteers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, when we weren't doing a whole lot, like Scott went on and delivered, like we had staff helping them at a high level every day, taking foods out throughout Kendall County.
Right.
So it's taking
yeah.
meals to their homes. We're Food Pantry, Eugene, they're coming.
Yeah, they're coming to get it.
They're
and
coming
also,
to get canned foods and things of that nature.
You think about the older people, too, that don't have a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
And also check it out.
Yeah.
Sure they're okay.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It's a dual purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Senior and anybody who's mobile, who's not mobile.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I know Dakota's is one of those Yorkville ones, and I know there's some Plano ones, too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That they have a separate menu for you can go there. And
oh, you can go there and
yeah, they're,
for
yeah.
that.
Yep, they're
oh,
health conscious great. A little bit. Better for the
so I guess we're good with that. Is we'll work with them on this, but not allow any others.
So you want us to have a
yes,
okay.
Vote on that.
And just know this will go to council.
Who wants second? You said first. Who wants
oh,
second?
I think Sasha already
second?
Did.
Oh,
okay.
Ready?
Yes. Roll call, please.
Yes. Diedrich.
Yes.
Dumanite.
Yes.
Lane.
Yes.
Forrestal.
Yes.
Wilberg.
Yes.
And Ayala.
Yes.
Okay, that's all we have. I don't know if we have anything else, right?
Just Riverfest this weekend. So I know Dan and Gene are going to be helping out. Thank
yes.
you guys helping out at 4th of July. They drove the city council float.
Yes. And
so.
I drove the police car. Can you believe that? I did arrest two people. They thought I was a cop, so I guess they take the cigarette out of your mouth. It was kind of cool. Yeah.
But we got Riverfest this weekend.
We're helping out people who have to park a long way away to bring them back on a golf cart. And believe me, they're very appreciative.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to do.
And you know what? We did it last time. They wanted to pay us.
Yes.
I couldn't believe. They go,
you know,
$5.
Dan accepted the money. But
I
took
the money.
We had a great time.
It was $5. No, we didn't, you know. They do, the walking is hard for some people.
Yeah.
Well,
you
got to
walk
on those hills. If you get a chance to come, I know Shay and her staff, they got some really cool activities around Barbie, Pac-Man, stuff that they're really super, super creative. you kind of saw some of that if you got a chance at Summer Bash.
Our
Barbie
drink is so cute.
And,
I know.
They could talk.
My girls
get
like,
a chance to come this weekend.
Barbie?
Another thing is this,
like,
Parkside.
Yeah. And
they got
Kiwanis
done a couple months
like,
ago. If you've not come over to see the playground there, it is super cool. It's something a little bit different. Sleazer Park, if you get a chance. Hopefully be done by the end of the month.
Yeah,
but that's starting to come together. It's a really cool new playground too. As I mentioned before, we hired three new parks people. We had one employee leave, but we had two new positions that were created. Scott and Shay have done an amazing job of cultivating opportunities to get people. You know, we're competing out in the western suburbs with Plainfield, Plano, Oswego, Montgomery. For a limited pool of quality employees. And, you know, Scott, with two of the guys you knew, one kid was working for us, the other one you knew at Menards. That's what it takes to really find good staff nowadays. Yeah.
Constantly.
And for Shay, we promoted two within our preschool program to full-time status over there. Real excited about that. And we got fortunate, there was a girl that left a different park district. She's the one we're waiting on. She's got to finish out a couple things for next month. But to get somebody of this town, this ability to come work for us, you know, we put it out there and we're not getting great resumes. To get that, because she had a relationship with this other individual, it's huge to as we're growing to get these real quality staff and to try to keep them. So excited about that. We talked about WGN, that was kind of really cool. If you got to hear the radio show, it was kind of neat, the interviews where they were like, hey, we're taking over, we're going to Yorkville, that type of thing. The video was really neat. Caitlin did a great job on that. So just a lot of things going on. I think these guys really got some other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you hit the big ones. I think just trying to keep up with the park construction and then just the day-to-day maintenance to grind, as we call it. I think the staff just finished this week rehab on Bridge Baseball Fields, which has been long overdue, so we're going to really try and flip our schedule and try and do things midsummer instead of trying to do it at the end of the year, because it just doesn't leave enough time. By the time we come to the fields in November, it's hard to get material and it's hard to get on the fields because they're wet and it's cold and you can't, they won't dry out. So now that we've got additional staff, so we've got the athletic division, we've got the turf division, and then we've got the playground division, it's nice to finally have staff in each area where they can kind of consistently work in those divisions and not be pulled off because we've got to get something else done. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't beg, borrow, and steal from each other as far as help goes, but it's nice to have staff in each division just to kind of leave them and let the foreman lead. So what you saw down there at Roofroll was, I was just coming along just to see how those are two of our new employees.
I'm just passing along some kudos, you know.
Yeah, no, but I want to see how they work.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's
with
best
my
way
own
to
eyes too. I want to see what their abilities are.
Amen.
You know, and then have talked to the foreman here and there to see how the staff is doing. But it's just nice. I mean, you know, hopefully it continues.
You know, everybody takes pride in their work. I really see that. They take pride in their work.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's you know, it's always an ongoing battle.
Yeah.
Rec at this point is just running on all cylinders. I mean, this is our just our busiest time of the year with fall coming up. I mean, we have once again over 1,000 kids going into fall sports. Hometown days, we're getting prepared for that while also simultaneously getting things ready to go for Riverfest and then planning for National Night Out with the police department. We have our Ghostbusters theme coming out for August 6th for that, so that's really exciting. We are getting a lot of buzz. So, yeah, we are just hitting it all on. We're getting gearing up for preschool. We might be short like 4 spots right now because the school district stole them from us for their early childhood program, which always happens every year. So we are working through our wait list to try to get those spaces filled. So we're getting everything going. We're excited. I know we have our Christmas in July promo for our holiday races, so we're even already like putting that out, designing the shirts. We went through a company to get some really awesome shirts this year that are going to be an ugly theme sweater, or ugly sweater theme, and then we're actually doing some beanies as like a surprise gift for people who do the early registration. So we are constantly looking at new ways to keep things fun and fresh and get people excited to come out and join us. So come on out, join us, have some of the fun with us. Yeah, and hopefully you guys can stop out at Riverfest. Thank you guys for all your help with it. It's desperately needed. And yeah, so I'm excited to see everybody here see us. And
quick Riverfest, we're going ahead with the boats despite the somewhat higher water, right?
That
no.
is pending tomorrow's final decision, but not
it's
looking
not
likely.
Go ahead right now. So, I mean, technically the state has closed Fox River for boating.
Well, is there another way around that? What if you put in at the boat landing and the race was going upstream above the dam?
Yeah. I can tell you right now, if the fire department is not going to be a part of it,
I'm just coming up with ideas is all I'm doing.
Yeah. So
it just becomes a safety and liability issue as well that we want to make sure that we're following. But that has not officially been out. We kind of wanted to wait, make sure, but we have everything prepared tomorrow. But we are working with Stephanie Ruskoff, who is kind of the organizer of that, and just looking into options for rescheduling. But that's still pending to even see just if that's even feasible for all involved.
How about
well,
if they carry the boats and the fire department sprays them with a fire hose or something?
You
got to think out of the box a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll make a final decision tomorrow with our department on what it is.
Next, you're going to be saying, why don't we contact Raging Waves and like come up with some kind of idea. Yeah, there we go. We could do lazy.
Put them in the lazy room.
That would be a wild ride.
So unfortunate, rarely happens, but again, not officially decided yet, but I would look for an update tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think the room's going to change a whole lot between now and Saturday morning. So
if anything, it's rising higher. From what I understand, it won't really fully crest until Sunday.
But we'll there's plenty of other fun going along at Riverfest for you guys to have.
You don't have to worry about the boats. Just come to Barbie Land.
Come to Barbie Land. Have a Malibu Barbie or a Chelsea. Some glittery.
Oh, yeah.
Glittery drinks and heart sunglasses, guys. It'll be fantastic.
Such fun. I knew when I had girls it was going to be my life.
Oh, my kids were down. I made it because we were testing them, so I gave them my test. And they were like, because it's a straw heart.
For a German, if you have any extra, added businesses, anything you want to talk about while we're here? I mean, I have a couple things, but.
I wasn't at the last meeting. I apologize. I couldn't make it, but I just wanted to say the program guide looked terrific. You know, for summer, you know, social media is like always. I don't catch everything, but it looks so positive and engaging, and it's great. So, you know, kudos to the masterminds behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I mean that's where having someone like Caitlin just makes such a huge difference. That we can be more interactive on Facebook.
We're building a presence, and part of that is just the consistency, and it allows us to not only if we see the moments, we can at least funnel the information to her, so we can continue to kind of do our things and just give her the information, and then she can make it really pretty. And she's so creative. I mean, she was looking up all these different Barbie references for her Barbie posts, and she does take it above and beyond just to try to catch that and get to people's eyes and excitement. So it's fun, but thank you. And fall catalog, actually, we are working on that. We're almost done with it, and that should be coming out, I think, August 12th officially. So be on the lookout for that as well.
One last thing. Being so busy the last, 4 or 5 months, I'm just curious, what are you hearing from parents of participants, residents? I mean, what kind of feedback are we hearing for being so busy? Everything, no complaints by anyone?
I mean, you're always going to get some kind of complaints about
athletic groups.
Honestly, 1,200 kids. We had 1,200 kids in spring athletics that kind of come into the summer. I think we maybe got 2 complaints, quite honestly, and I'm going to jinx us, but honestly, it's so rare with that many people coming in on a weekly basis, multiple times a week, and we're only hearing, and they weren't even we're playing when it's humid outside. Well, it didn't meet our standards. Yeah. You know what I mean? We have standards that we do, it didn't meet it, we're playing, and it was for high school kids, right? So it's so minor, it's almost laughable. It truly speaks volumes on what Jake is doing, and how hard he works, and how great even just our part-time staff and how he leads them so well, that because we can't be at every spot, and things just continue to run so smoothly in an area that could get kind of difficult.
Most of your positive feedback is just from the numbers. You just see the registration. That means that you're having a positive influence. People is word of mouth, stuff like that. I mean, do we get positive emails? Yes, but very rarely. I mean, and we really don't get a whole lot of negative. But it'll be more.
I just got one for Scott.
Yes, there was one because Rory Park was basically a second fireworks zone on the 4th of July.
The parks are.
Somebody emailed just saying, hey, we really appreciate that staff was out there on the 5th, cleaned it up, and stuff like that. So,
the kettles, and that was we had a complaint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, residents too. We have so many events, residents complain, during an event, after an event,
there's always grumbles, but nothing. For the most part, I got a lot of compliments at Margarita Mile just from people. I had a chance to kind of talk to people and just about the events overall. People were just very complimentary of that and our preschool, and just again social media and how things have been highlighted and just how fun things are looking from our department. So usually I do get compliments. There's always something about, right, the parks aren't cleaned up, or oh, the lines were too long, or the parking's, you know, there's always going to be that, but, you know,
yeah,
it also just means that there's a lot of people coming, so.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And I know the baseball games at Bridge Park that I'm hanging out at sometimes because my daughter's at concessions or working at concessions. Tons of compliments. Like, I go around and, like, ask, so I didn't hear any complaints. And I try to be friendly and say, you can complain, it's okay, but nothing, all compliments. Mm-hmm. So they seem very happy. So, yeah.
Just a couple things. Can you put another trash basket by the boat dock?
By the launch?
Launch. Because a lot of people are not walking over even to that one. We're there, and people are like,
sure.
Even it's like, so they don't do it. They just, you got, I know it's kind of sound silly, but we're sitting there.
It's not silly. We can come up every 50 feet if we want to. But
No.
We'll get one.
Yeah, it's just that they're coming out, they're busy today. And
they're on their boat, they're keeping their trash together, now they want to get rid of it. And
Right. Got it.
Then again, just people want more pickleball courts. I've heard that. When are you going to get more money? And I'm just letting you know. I know it's not a thing now, but it's so important now. It's catching on television. It's on things now. People want to be. I'm just saying. They want more pickleball courts.
You can add it to the every year with the discussion with the council.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is coming. I mean, we're getting a lot more with the times, shall we say.
I think a lot of it, too, and what I noticed when I'm out in the parks, too, is that a lot of it is just everybody wants to use it in the morning. Or at certain times, throughout the day, there's a lot of empty spots, right? Because everybody wants to go out there in the morning or in the evening. That's the issue you have at pickleball. And even at, even at the tennis courts, where we took two of the tennis courts last year when we resurfaced it and we made four pickleball courts. It's hit or miss, But if you go out there at noon, nobody uses any of them. So some of that's, I think, yes, there's kind of a funnel because of time. Everybody wants to play in the morning or
it's like a baseball field.
Everybody wants to play baseball at 5 o'clock
at night.
Yeah.
You can go all day.
So
and all
same
our
thing,
are
right?
Available.
Although I will say, you go at the bridge most days during the day.
There's people out there.
There's
practicing.
People always on those fields practicing or pitching stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's some of that. Yeah.
The third thing is about Bill Powell's thing.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
It's just
understand too the plaques. You know, we've got two benches and a couple of trees at Riverfront. We got a good finish. 10 weeks we've been waiting on plaques.
Ten weeks. Okay,
these things used to be quick, five week.
It's been ordered, Dan. It just. And then it's going
to
be coordinating something with the family.
Yes, we have
with
that too.
City Hall stuff like that. I mean, they're so it could be next spring before we really get something finalized.
I hope it'll go up before the winter, but I'm telling you, some of it is.
Because they're asking.
They shut the foundry down
and
it's hot.
About a month ago, so
I would just let her know it's been ordered, but it's taking a while.
Yeah,
and then we got to coordinate a date.
Okay.
Yeah.
And lastly, I was just thinking about the park on Van Emmon, the one by the railroad tracks there. What are we doing with that?
I
can't see what you said, that the people in the new thing are going to go over there.
Well, we do have practice over there for baseball still.
Yeah,
they do use it as the practice field still.
And there's a
you know what? Should we say we're going to turn that into a senior citizen place or something like that?
I mean, we've
park.
Kicked around.
We talked about redeveloping it in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is like you can play ball there.
You can do practices. There's a special needs school up by where Scott's building is. They come down a lot during the week to use it for like kickball and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's just getting the money, and then what plan works. You also have homes back there that are going to want to stay. And
I think you will see a redevelopment, though, Dan, when that subdivision gets full. Up, that's literally across the street.
Yes, right.
I mean, there's no park site in that development.
How is it across the street?
Crosswalk, flashing crosswalk.
I mean, that's
the issue with that development is because I've had a couple emails from families in there. We have no land.
There's no park site.
So like they're like, I had people email
me,
hey, can you put a playground? And I'm like,
no, there's
we don't own anything.
Correct.
And that was the decision made.
I just can't see people crossing the street. I mean, you'd have to because people are going about 35, 40 miles an hour.
Well,
yes.
I mean, the speed limit is 30 or 35.
Little kids.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And I don't know if we would actually put a playground at Ben. I mean, I don't know if that would be a good spot to get for one right there.
Right.
I don't know. What's the long term?
Just
and I think some of it is with this grant going in.
Yeah.
How do you develop that? you know, another option is that become another parking lot. You just take it down and make it a parking lot. And you know, for the downtown area. I mean, there could be different options.
Bad idea. I mean,
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
The way it was donated to the city says it has to be used for recreation.
Right. Or indoor pickleball.
I just happened to read the agreement when it was done 60 years ago.
On the deed.
Okay, I'm done with that. Anybody else? Yes.
One quick one. Any long-term thought to that property that we own upstream of Hoover along the river?
Crawford?
That you have to walk down.
Crawford?
That,
Crawford yeah. Park.
Crawford Park.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately.
I'm talking about the flat part at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd love to ultimately have that be, you know, connected somehow with a trail. You know, I think that's why we took that piece of stuff.
Trail meaning bike trail?
Yeah, like a walking trail, bike trail. Yeah, I think ultimately the issue you're going to have is at some point it's going to have to come back to Fox Road just because there's homes in River's Edge that own right to the River's Edge, and there's no way to link it unless you somehow get an easement.
I understand. I mean, I hike it.
But yeah, I mean, that park we accepted because it was riverfront property. It's in the floodway, just so you know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we accepted it because we wanted
to. So that limits what you can do with it?
That's why the homes aren't right on the river
because
it's in the floodway.
Okay.
So, but it is something where we wanted to make a link to get into Hoover that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we did that some years ago, but it also depends, too. I mean, I don't know if the board's aware that, you know, there is a 50-foot easement there all along the sides of those homes for a future bridge to cross the river there. Now, I don't know if that'll ever happen, like a vehicle
car bridge. I mean, automobile bridge.
I'm not sure that'll ever happen, but it could be a spot for a pedestrian bridge someday, potentially, that could link across the river, you know, and if you look where that goes, you know, that would be a pretty nice thing to have down the road.
Do we, the city of Yorkville, own any property along the river, on that side of the river, from that Crawford Park back to town?
No, but a lot of that's still not developed, and that's something that could be negotiated when property comes in.
Does the Kendall County Forest Preserve own any frontage?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I mean, I'm thinking forward to the bike trail that we're going to build there.
Right, but I mean, but right now it's farm ground or you know, just
sitting
space.
Yeah.
It's a Christie Family Trust is who owns the property from that site all the way to River's Edge.
Okay, gotcha.
So.
Any other additional business?
Just one little thing, very quickly. You sent us a link to take the training suggested.
Yes.
To be
yes.
That training. The video is not really.
I'm working on getting the things. It's just a huge file, and I don't know how to email it to you guys, so I'm figuring something out. It was just something to send along. Is you guys are out in public. City Council has to do a harassment training. It was just an idea of saying, hey,
no, I think it is.
You're on the board. You kind of represent the city. You're heavily involved with the public.
No,
I'm also with staff. I didn't really watch the video when I sent it out because I was in the class. You can see Scott in the video. I got a couple saying, hey, this isn't very good. But the files, I can't email it. It's like huge, and I can't figure out. I got to figure out a way to get it to you guys for the slides.
Yeah, now the thing is, there was just a video of the training instead of just having the.
Correct.
The slides and everything, and it just was very, very difficult to follow.
Tim, if there was a need for like a special meeting for us to do that training at some point,
I'm sure they could just, when we have it, you could come, the staff does it if you're available, and that type of stuff. And something is great. When the council did one after one of their meetings, I'm sure part of the members were sitting there that they would.
Anything else? Thank you. I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. And anybody want to make a motion for adjournment at 7:32?
I move to adjourn.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Yes. Do you mind a bit?
Sasha, you can do that training.
Yep.
Okay. Lane.
Sasha can do it for this.
Lane.
Yes.
Okay. Forrestal.
Yes.
Wilberg.
Yes.
Ayala.
Yes.
And Diedrich.
Yes.
Thank you.
It sounds bad, but I think